Shadowbane, Eye of Justice. Prologue. 12 Hammer, the Year of the Second Circle, 1470 DR. We must find the sword of Shadowbane. In the wake of her words, muted disapproval filled the great council chamber of the Eye of Justice, dancing along the carved walls to reach every one of the 50 assembled knights. They were malodorous, ugly men and women with cruelty in their eyes. They did not listen but amuse themselves with trivialities. Some counted and recounted their ill-gotten coin, some sharpened blades, and some even dared to bring hired company to the council. It sickened her, but after 7 years under Uthias Darkwell, had Livia truly expected anything else? The vigilant seers were even worse. The five cold-faced men on the council sat in enigmatic silence, their unsympathetic eyes fixed upon the supplicant with her impossible quest, or wandering to other diversions. Few of the seers had any honor left, and none of them cared about the eye any more. After a moment, someone rose to speak against her. Watcher Haran, the big half-shoe swordsman from Elversalt. Of course he challenged her. He did so every time she addressed the council. He rose from where he sat beneath Lord Darkwell's throne and waved at Livia as though to disperse a puff of dust. "Every year you bring before us the same request," he said. "Do you never tire of hearing your own words, Livia Shadewalker?" Haran's booming voice and thick shoulders more than dwarfed the plain half-elf woman in the center of the council chamber they shared, but she refused to concede. Livia was made of harder steel than Haran of Elversalt. The laws of the Eye granted her a voice and put her on the same level as her far more popular opponent, a rising star in the Order and on track to sit on the Council of the Vigilant Seers. Indeed, Haran had earned a fair stake of his clout in the Eye by his way of vociferous opposition to her agenda. He was Uthias's stooge through and through, and the words he spoke might as well have been a High Seer's own. No matter. The wind howled outside the chamber of the Eye, matching the fury she kept carefully locked in her heart. She would speak, and although they might not listen to her, they would hear her, gods be burned. "Every year I ask the same question, yes, because every year the call for it is greater." She gazed around the chamber at the grubby rabble that infested the Eye of Justice. "Can you not see Gedrin's legacy crumbling around you? We sit in our cavern of stone and count our coins while thieves grow bolder in the streets of Westgate. We call ourselves bringers of justice, yet the lawlessness in the city grows by the day. Can we not undertake this simple task?" "Simple task?" Haran stopped where he had been pacing around her and turned an incredulous expression in her direction. "The search for Gedrin Shadowbane and the Sword of Helm is no mere trifle. The old man has been gone for a decade, lass." The word "lass" grated on Livia, but she bore it with the cool detachment Gedrin had taught her. Gedrin Shadowbane had been her teacher and, in the later years, a father to replace the one she had never known. She owed him everything and resolved not to disappoint him now, even if he had abandoned her along with the order he'd created so long ago. "His lengthy absence is all the more reason to search," she said. "We must discover what has become of him and reclaim the sword that was lost. It is the blade of our god and must..." "One of our gods," the oldest of the vigilant seers, Lord Cephalus, roused himself just long enough to impart some of his sagely wisdom, his head perched on his hand. "The first to pass from us. There are three gods we follow, and Helm is far from the most potent. Why do we focus upon him and not our living lord?" His eyes drooped again, and he snored.
"My lord seer speaks true," Haran said, "all affection for your father aside."
"He was, is, not my father," Livia said. "Gedrin Shadowbane is my master, and master of us all. Or have you forgotten whose voice stirred us out of depravity and set us on the path of righteousness? How the Eye of Justice brought order after the chaos of the Blue Fire?"
"That was 85 years ago, before any of us yet drew breath."
Haran seemed to reserve his most incisive counterstrokes just for her. The man did not bear the nickname Sir Harang for nothing.
"I admire Gedrin as much as any of my brother and sister seers, but he must be more than 100 years old by now, if he is even yet living."
"Ways must change, lass." Livia wished she'd stop calling her that. "We have strayed from the path. And besides," Haran continued unabated, "the Eye lacks the blades to reach the whole of the Dragon Coast, much less a fruitless scouring the length and breadth of Faerun." He stood face to face with Livia and crossed his arms. "This, lass, is why you will never rise in the Order.
You simply refuse to see beyond yourself, much less to the whole of the matter.
Aye, said a woman's voice from behind Lord Cephalus's throne. Watcher Rosalia of Selgant was squire to Cephalus, his obvious heir, and some said she was much more. Few women claimed membership in the Eye of Justice, and many who were not knights, but rather harlots who rose to prominence, using their bodies rather than their swords. Rosalia was one such, and Livia hated her for it. She disliked beautiful women, because they possessed that which she did not have, and never would. The world seemed so easy for them.
I wonder if Sister Livia can even see herself. Rosalia wrinkled her nose. Perhaps she'd stop insulting us all with such awful hygiene. Or is that an attempt at your hair, do you think?
The barb drew laughter from the men gathered around the chamber, and Livia bristled. She bit her lip to keep from countering. To seem a hysterical woman would not avail her cause. Had Livia truly expected victory here? In the year of the second circle, the Eye of Justice lay sick, infected with fools like Haran and fops like Rosalia, when it deserved heroes like Gedrin, or even Cephalus as he had been before age replaced his gray matter with cake batter. The council was not on her side, and she could not count even on a single vote among them to back her cause. She turned, as she did every year, to Uthias Darkwell, chief of the council and highest of the vigilant seers. He was a man of powerful stature and impressive sword skill, and he, at least, deserved her respect, even if he had been the one to succeed her master Gedrin 10 years earlier, after the Paragon's disappearance. Uthias had watched the proceedings silently, his sharp eyes and ears catching the minutiae even Livia herself missed. None of it mattered, however. She knew his answer even before she asked the question. Livia fell to one knee before the High Seer. "Please, my lord," she said, "hear me." At that moment, the great doors of the council chamber gave a thunderous groan and swung open as though blown inward by the tempestuous wind. A figure stood in the door, seemingly frayed around the edges like poorly cut paper. He wore rags and carried no weapon, but his eyes, so pale they almost seemed white, might as well have been a burning sword and a gleaming shield. Two justice stalkers made to bar his way, but the man, little more than a boy, Livia realized, cut them off with a look.
"I seek the Eye of Justice," he said. His youthful voice somewhat undermined the impact of his sudden appearance.
Chuckles broke out among the crowd. Haran scoffed. He shoved his way past Livia and raised his hand crossbow casually toward the youth's chest. "I suggest you leave this place, boy, before..." Without hesitation, the youth with the pale eyes reached out, seized the crossbow, and smashed it into Haran's chin. Stunned, the odious man fell back, and the youth pointed the stolen weapon at his chest.
"The Eye of Justice. Now."
This made the confrontation all too real. Around the chamber, members of the Eye stirred from their lethargy. They dropped their coins and whetstones and set aside their hired lads and lasses. It was the brief hesitation from the youth's dramatic entrance that saved his life, or else he'd have been riddled with crossbow quarrels and thrown daggers before he spoke another word.
"You have found the Eye," Livia strode forth. "Why do you seek us?"
The youth turned his resolute gray eyes on her. "Who are you?" he asked, as though he weren't 15 years her junior. Livia scrutinized him. Such arrogance, to burst into this chamber and make demands of her, of any of them. He wore rags and smelled beyond awful, a concoction of sweat, dirt, and the bitter rain of the Dragon Coast that she could smell across the 10 paces between them. She reached for her mace, resolved to teach this beggar boy a lesson.
"Ah," said a feminine voice near the door. "I wouldn't be doing that, me lady."
A scrawny halfling wielding a crossbow in either hand stood out against the storm. She pointed her weapons at either side of the council chambers, covering the whole of the Eye. The knights looked stunned to see her, and a few raised their hands in surrender. "Cowards."
"Answer my question," the scraggly lad said.
Livia straightened. "I am Livia Shadewalker, first apprentice of Gedrin Shadowbane." The name struck the youth, and, although he made no move to lower the crossbow, he reached into his pocket. He tossed her something tiny. "This is yours, I believe." She caught the object and drew in a sharp breath upon examining it. "Gedrin's ring. Lord Shadowbane wanted you to have it back," the strange lad said. "He died well, and I would avenge him if I could." The delay allowed the gathered knights to snap free of their indecision, and blades and bows came out. The halfling hissed a warning.
"Caelan, blades!"
Through it all, the youth's eyes remained upon Livia. His crossbow, however, rose toward Uthias Darkwell himself, provoking gasps of alarm.
"Wait," Livia said, then louder. "Wait, down bolts and listen."
She had never been well liked among the Eye, but the knights heeded her now and stayed their weapons. A good thing, too, as otherwise the youth might have fired his crossbow.
Haran stood fuming just behind her, his hand on the hilt of his sword. "What is the meaning of this?" he demanded. "Who is this cur?" "I come by the will of Gedrin Shadowbane to fulfill his final command," the youth said. "We spoke only a moment, but it was long enough for him to send me on a quest. I seek ordination in the Eye of Justice." His last word rippled through the chamber like sizzling water on a bed of coals. "What a jest," Haran said. "Surely..." "Silence." Uthias Darkwell's powerful voice shut Haran's mouth and stilled the anxiety in the chamber. He waved to Livia. "The lad speaks the truth," she said. "He, Gedrin, sent him. I know he did. I will find the sword, whether you send me or no." The youth looked to Uthias. "But out of respect for Gedrin, I would have your blessing." Livia felt suddenly unbalanced and uncertain. Not since a roving Gedrin had called her out of her life as a scullery maid and occasional thief on the streets of Neverwinter had she seen such confidence, such fixity of purpose. He truly would pursue this quest for Gedrin's sword, whether for the Eye, for Gedrin's sake, or only for himself. And what did he know of her master's fate? That he died well, and that the boy would avenge him if he could. She clasped Gedrin's ring tightly. Uthias Darkwell regarded the boy with a calculating gaze. "Interesting," Haran sputtered. "My lord, he is a boy, not a knight-errant. You cannot be serious." Livia tightened her hand around the ring her decision reached. "He is Gedrin's apprentice and heir to Vindicator," she said. "The Eye has chosen him." "Gedrin Shadowbane was a mad old man who couldn't tell a swordsman from a tree stump," Haran said. "We all know this, and yet you expect us to consider allowing this boy to undertake a quest no member of the Eye of Justice has ever accomplished?" Livia stood her ground. "This is his will, the will of our master, and the will of the threefold god." She looked up at Uthias. "My lord, allow him to try." The High Seer rubbed his gray beard. "Gods, you might as well kill the lad right now," Haran sneered. "What makes you think a beggar boy can succeed where hundreds of sworn knights have failed?" "For just that reason," the boy said. "I am not a sworn knight, and so I will do that which must be done, without a good god's damn for your code or your order." That stole the triumph from Haran's face and replaced it with spreading ruddy blotches in both cheeks. "Enough, you insolent pup," he drew his sword. "Halfling or no, Levy or no, I..." "Why?" Uthias' resonant voice rippled along the dusty walls. The one-word question stilled Haran where he stood, and he eased his blade back into its scabbard. Uthias Darkwell, High Seer and Master of the Eye of Justice, rose from his seat and spread his hands across the tabletop. "Why do you wish this?" he asked. "You are a lad and have many paths yet open to you. You say you spoke with Lord Gedrin for all of a moment. Why do you follow him?" For a moment, Livia thought the question was too much for Kaelin. He straightened and his bushy eyebrows came together as though reflecting confusion. His eyes darted toward the door as though planning a quick escape. Then Livia saw something come over him that changed everything. It was that same glowing hot resolution that had inspired a servant girl to rise above her station and serve a purpose greater than herself, greater than any of them. Kaelin gazed straight at the man he had been menacing and lowered the crossbow. He spoke, and his words rang throughout the hall. "Because shadow and darkness must be pursued in every form," he said. "Through every street, down every path, no matter how dark, until it is wiped from the world." The words, Gedrin's words, turned into the vow all knights of the Eye took upon their initiation, filled the council hall like a thunderstorm. Inspiration dawned on the faces of disinterested watchers Livia had not seen speak up in years. Knights lowered their blades, unable to cross the boy's steely declaration. Rosalia stopped her incessant picking at her nails and paid rapt attention. Old Cephalus had tears in his eyes, and even Haran looked stunned. Livia's stomach churned even as her heart leaped. "Three watching gods," she prayed under her breath. "He is the one." "Very well," Uthia said, breaking the silence left by Gedrin's mantra. "We have much to discuss. Livia, see that the boy and his companion eat something. They look half-starved." "Kaelin?" Every eye turned to the young man, and he looked a bit uncertain for the first time. He clenched his fists. "Kaelin, Dren, and my sister, Celica." "Kaelin Dren, then," Uthias nodded slowly. "Interrupt me again, and I shall have you removed by force, quest or no quest." Kaelin gave the vigilant lord a curt bow, but Livia could see that strength lingered about around him. The lad bore the kind of pride, an overwhelming certainty of purpose, that only Gedrin had known. How could one so young be so sure of himself?
Levia wandered from the hall of the eye in a daze, hardly aware of the guards as they closed the door behind them. Her eyes remained on Kaelin, who stalked with unassuming grace from the great stone chamber. They passed into a sitting room where prisoners of the eye traditionally awaited their judgment. Levia felt unsettled, like both Kaelin's captor and a fellow prisoner, of the strange course of fate. Rain hammered at the glass window, and Levia could hear thunder rolling. "So you'd be her, eh?" Kaelin's halfling companion presented Levia a beaming smile, showing pearly white teeth that belied her otherwise filthy exterior. She looked as hard-lived as her companion and a little older. "Celica, yes?" She shook the little woman's arm. "I'm Levia." "Oh, I be knowing all about you," Celica said. "It's all me brother's been about for days. Find Levia Shadewalker. Give her this ring and all. He could be single-minded." "I can imagine." Levia glanced over at the lad, who was wandering around the room inspecting the walls as though for spy holes. "You said he's your brother? How?" "Not by blood, but he's my brother, be sure." She had traces of an accent, which Levia understood she was working to overcome. "You take what family you can in Luskin Town." Luskin. The last letter Levia had received from her master said he'd heard of a dark council in the Den of Thieves on the Sword Coast, and she'd heard nothing since. All her pleas to visit the city had fallen on deaf ears once Uthias had taken over the council. How long ago did he... 7 years, the boy said. The women looked over to where Kaelin leaned against one of the wood tables. Within a dozen breaths or so, he'd grown comfortable in the room, and now looked as though he belonged there. And if his story and Levia's own instincts held true, he did. "Your father came to me 7 years ago as I begged for coin on the street. He charged me never again to beg for anything, and bid me carry the sword." Kaelin's fingers traced his cheek. "It clouded me a good one to remember as well." "That sounds like him." Levia couldn't help smiling even as a lump rose in her throat. Celica backed away from the conversation, an eye toward the kitchen. "I'll just be seeing what's on the simmer," she said. "We've had naught but roots and berries for days." Levia nodded, then turned her attention entirely to Kaelin. The halfling might as well have ceased to exist as far as she was concerned. Kaelin Dren had the awkward proportions of a boy not yet a man. Levia estimated his age at 15 winters, though he'd clearly lived a hard life, and as such could be much younger than he looked. Levia saw the structure of hard muscles built into his frame. Coupled with his intensity and raw physical presence, he would be an impressive specimen in a few years. "What took you so long?" she asked. "If you met Gedrin 7 years ago..." "I ran," Kaelin said without a hint of guile. "I refused the burden he offered, hawked the sword and ring, and ran." He closed his fists at his sides. "Now I am finished running." Something about those words struck Levia, and she understood. She felt a kinship with the lad, despite the years and layers of grime that separated them. The boy truly was filthy. Mud clung to his straggly brown hair, and several coats of robe dust enshrouded his face. Levia saw a fresh, deep cut on Kaelin's hand, livid through the caked dirt. "Torm can heal you." Although he flinched like a startled cat, she took his wounded hand between both of hers and gasped. "Your hand's like ice." "No," Kaelin pulled his hand away as though from a snake. "No magic. It'll heal." "But doesn't it hurt?" Levia asked. His face might have been chiseled of stone. "No magic." The years that separated them fell away, and Levia felt as though she were facing a man grown, rather than a lad without whiskers on his chin. It kindled warmth in her breast, and for what would not be the last time, she chided herself as foolish to let a mere boy impress her. Though, when this lad became a man, such certainty of purpose would have quite the effect on any number of ladies. He was no pretty boy, but he was striking. He bore mystery in his face with its long-ago broken nose, small scar across the brow, an enigmatic frown. The marks of teeth stood out around his mouth and fingers. The wounds were long since healed and, Levia realized, self-inflicted. "You don't feel them, do you?" she asked. "Your teeth, when you gnaw yourself." His eyes cut into her like chips of ice. He nodded slowly. "I am sorry," he said, "that I could not save your father." Levia couldn't breathe. Tears welled in her eyes despite her attempts to fight them, and she wept for the first time she could remember. With the scrape of wood on stone, the door to the council chamber opened. Haran's face was red and his eyes furious. When he spoke, he kept a civil tongue. "The vigilant have seen and conferred. You will leave as soon as you are ready, and with the blessings of the eye, you will return with Vindicator by any means necessary." Levia's stomach lurched, and she found herself filled with profound relief. Haran nodded stiffly, and Levia could tell by the words he left unspoken that Kaelin had made an enemy today. Once the council had shuffled out, she looked over to Kaelin. The boy had turned to Celica, and they were conferring quietly, using a mixture of words and gestures known only to them. "Well," Livia said, "you'll need to be invested, and then there are rituals to be done to start your quest. Perhaps we could clean you up first, a hot bath?" Kaelin shook his head. "No need for the rituals, the bath, or the quest." He held out his hand to Celica, and the halfling produced a necklace with a sword-shaped pendant. Livia knew immediately that magic hung about the piece. She had not detected it earlier because Celica had worn it, and Livia had possessed eyes only for Kaelin. "What is that?" Livia asked. Kaelin murmured a word under his breath, and the medallion grew in his hand, swelling in a heartbeat to the span and breadth of a hand and a half sword. The edge of the blade gleamed, and a worn sigil adorned the hilt, the eye and gauntlet of Helm, long dead god of guardians. Livia knew the sword well. She had tried to wield it once before, though she and Gedrin had both decided she had no facility for edge weapons. She recognized Vindicator. "You had it the whole time," she marveled. "You demanded the quest as a ruse." "If I had walked in those doors with this sword," Kaelin ran his fingertips along the flat of the blade, "would I have walked out again?" Livia was impressed. "You don't trust anyone." "I trust her," Kaelin nodded to Celica. "And now I trust you." He fixed Livia with his wet gaze, weighing her. "Have I chosen well?" Livia considered. The youth was fearless, that much was certain, and wise as well, which he would need to be to navigate the treacheries of Westgate and the Eye. And even beyond these things, she saw in him a hunger to prove himself and to redeem whatever dark life he had left behind in Luskan. Livia felt the way she imagined Gedrin must have felt when he looked upon her for the first time and knew why her master, her father, had chosen this one. "Yes," at length she answered his question. "You've chosen well." "Good." He gave a curt nod. "When does my training start?" Livia smiled. "Right now."